Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. I am hanging out with my Ohio buddy, Rick, who appears to have just gotten a haircut.
Oh, you know, I did, but it was last week. So,
close enough.
It's getting a little long. You know, it's funny. It grows thick here, not so much up there, but it's very convenient. We could be doing this podcast at 4 a.m. right out of bed. You would not know with me.
That is absolutely true. I can tell you, for people listening, it's not 4 a.m. It's actually, I don't know about where you are, Rick, but it is snowing here.
I woke up to snow, and I was very disappointed at that. Yes, that was not cool. It started with, now it's back to rain here. I'm looking out at the window. But it's not pleasant. Yesterday was beautiful.
Yeah.
In all the places I go that make you upset, Brad, the jacket they gave me when we went to Vancouver, which was nice. Before the Torrey Pines place, they always give nice gifts at those events, the analyst events. But I used my Veeam hoodie with the rain cover situation today. So, yeah, it's ugly. Very ugly.
Unless you're my kid, who has been wanting snow for a long time and felt like she got gypped last year because we didn't get much. And so,
it's true. Kind of just go take a road trip. Just a little bit up the road, you'll find it.
Yeah,
It's a little wet today.
It is.
So you don't want this snow.
This isn't like the snow you go out and play in. This is the snow you try to avoid. It's not the fluffy stuff. It's the wet, heavy. It's the Debbie Downer of snows.
Indeed. I like it like about a single digit Fahrenheit. So like, -8 to -12 Celsius and clear and sunny.
Yep.
That is a fun snowy day.
That's the good stuff. I will fully agree with that one. But Rick, since we have, since we have talked last, you have become, I shouldn't say a published author. I believe you've already been a published author on various places, but you have written your first glamour piece. You've made your Petri debut in the written text form on the site. And I think it's worth talking about here because blobs, well, I guess you could define snow as blobs. There's also a storage medium called blob storage. Why don't you just tell us the easy way to determine? I had the
it's
wrong
Monday.
No, I had the wrong post pulled up. I was like, wait a minute, that's not Rick's post. The post title, which everyone should go check out, we'll actually link to it below, is determining Azure blob storage access tiers with ease. That last part being the appropriate. I had one of my own posts pulled up, and I was like, that doesn't sound like Rick's headline. And in fact, it wasn't.
Well, it's funny, Brad, because I have been writing content forever. That's actually the what got me started is the spirit of technical evangelism was the written blog. And you as a site editor, you'll get a chuckle out of this. So the very first, let's say, published material I ever did was for Tech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
And, great people there. I know them well. Wrote for them for a number of years. I emailed one of the editors, and I'm like, hey, this guy is writing crap. And he goes, I said, that's all wrong.
I've been on the receiving end of a few of those.
And he's like, can you write? And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Changed my life, bro.
No, that's...
But anyways, that's how it started.
That story is very similar to like myself and many other people. It's not... Maybe not everybody emailing an editor being like, that guy's wrong. But it's like, somebody's like, hey, can you take that opinion and turn it into something that we can publish? And then you say yes, and then there you go.
Yeah, how it started, how it's going. Yeah, look at all this Veeam stuff, right? And so that got me on this path, right? Blogging, podcasting, and other products, white papers and stuff. And then last night was 10 years that I've been at Veeam. So, my job here is basically being an evangelist, right? And so whenever I have these opportunities to contribute to new sites and stuff, I definitely check it out. And yes, Petri's the latest one. And I had an idea, kind of especially along the lines of my Microsoft MVP situation. I wanted to make sure that I had different vehicles, different types of contributions. And I wrote a post, and the plan is to do 2 a month starting December about Azure and related stuff.
Yep.
And the first one is storage access tiers. Now, the funny thing about Azure and not funny, but like the interesting thing is that you could have a storage account where you mix and match. You know, there's this notion of the parent level, hot or cool, but then within you can have archive, and archive is different, right? It has a minimum life of say 180 days, like a basically you're committed to keeping that storage for 180 days. And I think it's really important that if you're using that type of storage, you know where it is and you know what it looks like. So whether it's the Azure portal or using Azure Storage Explorer, the post just kind of highlights just easy ways to check that out. And whether you're using it by hand or by an app that puts that data in, it's really important that you know what type of data is what. Because you know, I like to say Azure Cool Archive Storage. I need an acronym here. It's write once, read never, but never say never.
Mm-hmm.
Wern, burn, nern. Something like that.
We'll call it the worm burner.
Let's just go with write once, read never, but never say never.
The good bumper sticker.
Worm burn. I like that, but that's not how
it's a golf. It's technically a kind of a golf term where you top the ball, but it goes like a country mile, but it's only like 3 inches off the ground.
Country mile, please define. I'm from Ohio, but I haven't heard that one.
You've never heard country? So country mile, I believe it's, I'm going to look up the actual definition because somebody will call me out on this. Country mile.
We got to be careful. People actually watch this. And
yeah,
listen to this.
I will get called up. A country mile is a term that dates back to at least the 1800s. A country mile is a deceptively long distance.
Ah, like country neighbors. Mm-hmm. Got it. Your neighbors, but whoa. Yeah, it's kind of like the old joke up in the Canadian prairies. You ever heard that joke that, mm-mm, oh, my dog ran away 4 days ago and I can still see him going? No, because it's so flat and far. Anyways, I'm telling that joke wrong. All Canadians are going to get me for that.
But, you know what? It's 2020. Anything can go at this point, I think.
Yeah. But no, yeah, check out that. You know, that there's great content there on Petri, and I'm happy to be contributing there. So thanks for that opportunity.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. The reason why, if somebody was listening real carefully, when Rick said he was going to contribute two a month, and I laughed, the reason why I say this, and this is not targeted at Rick, this is an editor's problem. Anybody who's ever run a publication is people love to write. And candidly, it is difficult to write. Like getting that first one out the door, easy. Getting in a systematic cadence is very tough. Like it's a very, you have to be very diligent and regimented to do it. And it just, when you combine that with getting angry emails, it's like, yeah, that's right. And then he's like, gonna be 2 a month. I'm like, yep. That's a challenge.
That place. Well, a couple of things on that, Brad. One, that email to Tech Target that started, mm-hmm, the Tech Republic, sorry, that started it all. That was in 2001.
Wow.
So I meant going strong.
Yeah.
You know,
I believe in Rick. I do.
but you know, part of my job is that content side, right? So I'm familiar with the motion and the activity, but the reality is, a lot of people, for those listening and watching, it's really natural to say, oh, I'm going to start a blog or start a podcast or whatever. And you might come in a little bit front loaded and heavy with ideas, but then you run into this block where you don't have any more ideas, or you're like, oh, what do I write about? Mm-hmm. My personal advice on that is go back to basics.
Yes.
Because there is always someone starting new with something, or twist the basics and answer why. You know, there's always opportunity for that. And so, yes, he chuckles. I know what he was chuckling about, but the commitment is 2 a month.
Well, but the thing is, what you just said is exactly right, is that when people get into writing and doing all that, they have these ideas that every post needs to be a home run. And you really don't. You build an audience by hitting singles every single week. Like, that is a much better strategy than coming out with the most grandeur editorial that you can think of that's going to, you know, do a million page views. But if you can get 10,000 per week, you're much better off.
Yeah. Think long game.
Yep.
Think the journey, right? Don't start at one random super deep thing. Work up to that, right? You know, especially for technical content. And then the other side is take an opinion. You know, mm-hmm, even if it's differencing, and defend it, you know, that will get people talking. So, there's a lot of ways to do content. And, you know, it's a fun way to engage with existing and, mm-hmm, potentially new IT audiences. So, I'm a little bit of a journeyman through all the different sites and stuff, but, you know, an opportunity came up here and happy to do it.
Speaking of opportunities, hopefully the opportunity last week didn't hurt you too much when AWS took a pretty hard dive. I mean, we've seen interruptions, and Azure has absolutely had its own issues. There's no denying that. But AWS was down for like roughly a day. Curious, did you guys get impacted by that at all?
Myself, no, I did not, because I actually, for my own personal Amazon usage, which is limited, but I actually use AWS US East 2 when I use services directly. So, and the reason why is it's kind of weird, but it's here in Columbus. It's on the Circle Highway here. So US East 1 is Northern Virginia, but that outage was really interesting in that I think it was AWS Kinesis, which is one of those services that are, was the main root of this. And if you talk to people who build cloud apps, and this is the difference between like lifting and shifting to the cloud and building cloud native solutions, right? If I take parts of my data center and throw it to Amazon or Azure, if I don't really change the form factor, it's not a big deal, right? If I'm using Azure VMs, SQL PaaS, okay, great. But if I'm building something, like, and I've had these conversations with people. I was at, actually a year ago, right about now, I was at the Amazon event in Vegas last year, and I spoke to this guy. And it was actually a really interesting conversation. He's more of a developer, and let's see if I can say it without blowing his cover, but he worked on, I'll say it this way, he worked on systems that did in-flight Wi-Fi. Okay. Okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of hardware and radio telecom stuff, but when it when the planes are on the ground, they have to uplink and stuff like that. And he's like, he rambled off like 45 different Amazon services he uses. And I'm like, man, what if that ever breaks?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, whoa. And that's the thing. It's like, if Humpty Dumpty has a crack, you know, he's going to leak water. Yeah, no, that's a bad analogy, but you know what I'm trying to say. If my drinking vessel is built of a million things and there's a crack, it's going to leak, you know, so something like that. But it's like, it doesn't surprise me. So the takeaway is, you know, we've always had this mantra of multi-region, et cetera, right? So if you, and I don't know why people always just so heavily rely on US East 1, right? Because I use US East 2 for my stuff, and that was not impacted. Now, granted, I didn't use AWS Kinesis, and there was actually a really good write-up that Amazon did about how the problem came to be. But like Rokus and Roombas and stuff were impacted. Hulu, I heard Hulu wasn't working. Oh, man.
The Roomba's the hilarious one. It's like, why can't you vacuum your house today? You're like, oh, Amazon's down. Like,
well, yeah, and there's some interesting tweets. Like, people were trying to use the like Adobe Creative Cloud, and they couldn't, you know. But it's Adobe; they're paying, right? Not, whatever. So, takeaway: prepare for multi-cloud. Keep control of your data. Right, number one rule: both Amazon and Azure on their shared responsibility models. This is actually probably the only thing they're consistent. With each other on is who has control of the data. It's the customer.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you put something up in the cloud, prepare for it to break either by fault or accident, right? You know, it could break on your own accord. You could have a, you could have AWS Lambda go wrong, or you could have a script get ugly with Azure Shell, right? And that's the customer's fault. So you have to be able to reconstruct these things. And that's, I mean, it's age old IT experience, right? So if you know, for businesses that are deploying in the cloud, keep that in mind. You know, prepare for things to not go as expected, and you get into situations where you know you have to balance the complexity and availability, and it's the same argument just with different tools. So that's the takeaway on that.
That's a good way to describe it. And we got actually a pretty good question in this, Rick, and it comes from Andre, and he wrote in. He says, "Does Rick have any tips for triaging slow backup performance? We think it might be a network constraint, but backup started taking about 10% longer 2 weeks ago, and nothing has changed from a hardware perspective. If Rick has any insight where to start looking, we've started to poke around to figure out why the slowing down has occurred, but we have come up empty so far."
A lot of things can indicate this. For one, I would, and I'm just going to assume, well, let me rephrase that. I'm going to answer a few of these as if it's a Veeam backup. Right? It may or may not be. A couple of things popcorn into my mind. One, free space. whether it's on the source or the target. Now, it's kind of interesting, but free space, when you, especially if you're doing things like volume shadow copies, if your source data starts floating up a little bit higher, things get weird. They may get slow and they might not be able to perform as intended. Same thing for the target. If there's manipulation where backup files kind of have to float and grow, they may not be able to write and perform as expected. So I'd look at free space. So nothing changed from a hardware perspective in terms of running or slower or whatever, but free space is actually kind of a consideration that I would keep in mind. The other thing I would highlight is you might want to look at the change rate. Now, change rate is when you do a backup, what's changed since then. So that's usually like good examples. I did Windows update of everything. Maybe you pushed out the 2004 or 20 or whatever, the long-term servicing channel, massive update, you know, that type of thing. It starts at 20, but that thing. If you did that, you could potentially have every system with massive amounts of change rate. Okay, yeah. That's one scenario. So there might actually be legitimate things. So whatever you're using for a backup, I would look into see what is actually transferred. The next thing that I would look into is if there's this notion, and this might gravitate a little bit more Veeamy than others, is how are synthetic full backups done? That actually could apply to everything. And if the incrementals are done a certain way, example, at Veeam, you can do a forward or reverse incremental backup, meaning a forward incremental backup is here's a full backup in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days of changes. And then on the seventh day, instead of taking a full backup again, I'm going to roll all six of those increments like a log and synthetically produce a full backup, right? So I have all the data there. Maybe a synthetic full backup is taking some time, or maybe a synthetic full backup is having to process through a lot of increments, like an update or some other situation, or maybe the synthetic full backups only happen once a month or once every other week or something like that. So it's a rather intense task. The other scenario is this notion of a reversed incremental backup, which is actually take a full backup and every day extract the changes going backwards in time, where this hand is today and this is tomorrow, what's changed, and it's manipulated back to that source. And if you get this chain really long, that's a lot of IO manipulation on the backup target. Okay, so that's another scenario to look at. Another scenario off the top of my head is whatever you're using for backup, Arthur, identify what is the bottleneck. And if you're using Veeam, whenever you have a backup job, there's this thing called bottleneck identifier, and it'll tell you that it was the source disk, or it was the target, or it was the network, or it was proxy, or whatever. It'll it'll point the finger on somebody or something of the what is the slowest moving part of the chain, right? Because a backup infrastructure is indeed an infrastructure. So I would look at, if it says proxy was a limitation, you can add more proxies, right? And we have plenty of content at Veeam about that. But that's just off the top of my head, a few things.
That's some good knowledge right there.
Well, I've been only doing it for 10 years. I'd hope I'd be able to have an answer.
Well, as you were saying that, I was trying to think of what the title of this episode was going to be. And I was thinking like triaging backup performance one country mile at a time. But that might be a little long, you know, to encapsulate everything that we've talked about, from bad analogies to backup performance.
Why don't you go to clouds, clouds, and backups?
Clouds, clouds, and backups. Oh, but what else is going on your agenda, Rick? Obviously, travel not happening. We're approaching the last month of the year. Anything floating your fancy before we shut her down?
You know, my dish is just take good vacations, right? I think I've dished on that before, because that must mean it's really important. But the thought is that over the holiday here, we had the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. Of course, everyone will remember this one, a little bit different.
Yep.
And I went camping, rented a camper, rented an RV, me and my son. It was great, you know. And so, you know, just take a moment to live life. You know, that's what I've been up to. The rest of the year, I don't have any travel planned. I'm kind of convinced this year will, this month, I should say, December, will be a pretty important turning point. You know, I think we have some good news coming that will,
I hope so,
you know, help the world go back to the, you know, normal, whatever that used to be. And I'm ready for I'm ready for travel again. You know, I actually suspect there's a couple of trips I will take next year. We're talking like three. Okay, that's not a lot. One of them's in state, you know. So I see some things likely, and I'm looking forward to that, you know. I've taken this opportunity to really control things. In fact, little milestone, Brad. 27. I've lost 27 pounds in the last 2 months.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome.
I'm wearing three shirts right now.
That's
Nobody
awesome.
Can even tell. It's great. But yeah, you know, so I'm like, just, you know, find the good in these circumstances, right? You know, like I said, I was able to control the diet and lose some weight, and got a little plan, a little goal, right? Take more vacations, right? Or if you can, right? Just whatever you can do to make the better choices with things. That's what I've been up to. And it's been real.
That's what we all hope. We hope that, you know, looking back, we can just kind of erase 2020 and we'd start fresh with 2021 and life will hopefully resume. And if you want to resume more of these podcasts, you can find links down below. Those are always good links to be clicking, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.